Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The John Heyman Report is brought to you by Sport Clips. Sport Clips, cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in. By Brother Supply, New York's number one source for ICRP tax, water source, heat pumps, and fan coils. And by Greenwich Hospital. Heyman, are the Mets done again?
No, I can't. Don't do this to me again.
Why not?
You dragged me along to say they were done a month ago. I went for it. I fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. And then last week, are they going to get in the wild card win? And I said yes.
You did?
I went with yes. So
you said that to Joe last week, that the Mets are going to win a wild card spot and then win the wild
card
game?
I'm too susceptible to pressure. I need to stick to my original picks, whatever they were.
You know what you are? You know what you are? And I say this word with peace and love. You are a sucker. That's what you are. You got sucked in by the Mets.
Weak. I'm weak. I don't. Sucker might be a little strong, but I'm weak. I peer pressure. I've always been like this. Back to junior high, Lawrence Junior High. You may remember that.
Of course.
I'm a big follower, and I just follow along like a fool.
All right. Well, don't be a follower. Be a leader when I ask you this question. All right? Because we spent a good majority of the first 2 hours of this show talking about it, and that's Mickey Callaway could not wait. He could not wait to go to the bullpen. Steven Matz had retired 14 in a row. His pitch count was 79. Yes, there were three hard-hit balls against him in the sixth inning, but he could not wait to go to the guy he called the best reliever in baseball, Seth Lugo. What were your thoughts?
Well, I will admit that at that moment in the sixth inning, so I didn't see how hard the balls were hit off of Matz in the sixth. I do know he retired 14 straight and had only 79 pitches. But I was fending off some Twitter hate from Orioles people at that moment. So I don't recall exactly how hard the balls were hit, but I would say that you do not want to get to that Mets bullpen too early. If you feel Lugo's the best reliever in baseball, I mean, he's been really good. I don't know if I would have said he's the best reliever in baseball. He's been really good. You feel like you can get two innings out of him, that's great. The seventh would be two innings. He left three innings. It was one inning too many. It didn't sound to me, because I watched the post game. I saw what everybody had to say. It didn't feel like he had a plan for the ninth inning.
No.
You know, so I...
All right.
Excuse me. I think that is the problem.
Choking,
I think,
like Mickey.
Two innings. No, I don't. I don't want to say choke. I'm choking. He's not choking.
No, you know why he choked? I'll tell you why I would use that phrase. All right.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a second to cough and clear your voice.
I'm
all right?
Good. I'm good.
Here's why. Because last night he wanted to be super aggressive. This is like a playoff game. Let's go. And he was way too aggressive. I love Seth Lugo. The guy's been great. He is the Mets' best reliever. But you're going to him in the seventh inning, like you said. You have to get nine outs. Where are you getting those nine outs from when you could potentially get a few more from your starter who's retired 14 in a row and his pitch count is only 79?
Yeah, I think you said it.
So
that
choked.
Was a mistake.
So
he made
choked.
A mistake.
Yeah, it was either.
Choking, I don't know. But choking, he made a mistake. People make mistakes. You know, I don't. He said he would do it 100 times out of 100. I think he might have rethink that. I don't think admitting a mistake is so terrible. I mean, obviously he believes in it. I don't know, 100 out of 100. I don't know. Three innings is too many for that Mets bullpen. I mean, he's lived it. You've lived it. You got to know at this point. Lugo's been really good. Nobody else is solid at this moment. We're not sure what we're getting anybody else now. I mean, you know, some guys come back from injuries and they're doing okay. That's fine. But the guys have been there the whole year. They have not been good other than Lugo. I mean, Gazelman's okay, but that you don't want to get to that Mets bullpen. Not when you got a guy with 79 pitches through six innings.
And speaking of bullpens, look, the Atlanta Braves were left with Jerry Blevins getting the biggest out of the game. And the Atlanta Braves, I think, are unquestionably the second-best team in the National League. The L.A. Dodgers are number one. I think it's clear that the Braves are number two. They're ahead of Washington. They're ahead of the Cardinals. They're ahead of the Cubs. But, John, this bullpen that they have is a disaster.
Yeah, you know what? Every team in the National League really does not have a great bullpen. Everybody's got questions in the bullpen. That's why you want to delay the bullpen as long as possible. I think for the first time in many years, around baseball, starters have a better ERA than relievers. And I think the National League is the biggest problem. Nobody, except for the Giants, who then traded away three of their relievers. They weren't their best relievers, but they traded three of them away. Except for the Giants, none of the contending teams have a good bullpen. You know, it's weird. The Nats, I mean, their bullpen ERA is 6. Atlanta, you're absolutely right. Their bullpen is not good. Now, their team on the field is excellent. So I would agree with you. At this point, they do appear to be the second-best team. We know who the best team is, but I would kind of agree with you that they're the second-best team. I feel like the Cubs should be the second-best team, but they have not been.
Now, the tweet that you referred to before was what? You were saying that the Orioles are bad for baseball?
What I thought everybody knew, which was that the Orioles don't belong on the field with the Yankees. It was getting ridiculous. That's number one. And the other thing is that it's not good for the game to have an overmatch like this where teams are not, whatever you want to call it, tanking or whatever. I don't love that word, but, you know, in retrospect, obviously that's what the Astros did. I don't even think that's a great strategy now. It may be a good strategy for them. It may work, but the rules are not the same. The team with the number one pick doesn't have $16 million anymore to spend. You can't get Lance McCullers in the second round. You can't play with it the way Houston did. I don't know that tanking is a great strategy, but it could be the right strategy for a team or two, but it's not good for the game. And all these Orioles fans, I guess the fact I said they didn't belong on the field with the Yankees, they got very upset. Well, but I mean, I would think they'd be upset about the teams being so horrific this
year.
But
what is your opinion on the fact that the Orioles, who are pathetic, and give the Yankees credit, they did a great job taking advantage of it. What's your opinion on the fact that they don't even have the worst winning percentage in baseball?
Incredible.
The Tigers are worse.
It's amazing. I mean, you think the Orioles cannot be happy about this. They were playing to get that first pick. They still have a shot. You know, they traded Kashner, who, you know, they'd won 12 games with him starting this year, so he was actually good for them. So I think they've got a shot. Obviously, Detroit traded Castellanos and Green, so they're even worse than they were before. It's going to be a horse race. These are two really, really all-time bad teams.
Yeah, and that's why when I look at the two leagues right now, I mean, the top of the American League is great. The Astros are really good. The Yankees are really good. The Indians have played well. The Twins have played well. But the bottom of the American League is like something, John, we've never seen. I mean, you have legitimately three 100-loss teams and then a few other teams that may not lose 100, but they're pretty bad too. Now, you see good things with the Blue Jays. They have a lot of good young talent. But obviously, from a win-loss perspective, I mean, they're 51-73. You know, they're not exactly winning a lot of games. The bottom of the AL, John, is as bad as I've ever seen.
Yeah, AL is very unbalanced. You got two super teams with the Yankees and the Astros. Obviously, the Indians, Twins are also really good. The A's are good. The Rays are good. So, I mean, there are teams that are very good, and then there are terrible teams. The National League is different. It's mostly mediocre teams at this point. The Dodgers are not obviously mediocre, and the Pirates and the Marlins are at the bottom. But there's a lot of very average teams in the National League, and that's what makes the National League more exciting right now. It really is.
I was looking at, you know, because you were saying you were fending off Oriole fans that were mad about that tweet. I saw one tweet. I got to read this because the logic of some people on Twitter, I don't know what the hell they're thinking. This guy Temple tweets, "We won the division more recently than the Yankees, you tool." What the hell does that mean?
Oh, I got way worse than that. You wouldn't be able to read the 2/3 of the ones I was getting. They're in a bad mood. Well, you know what? Our president said that Baltimore was the worst place on earth or something like that. So they're in a rough mood. They've taken a lot of punches lately. But I thought I was saying something that everybody in Baltimore knew, which is that they're terrible. I mean, it's good that they're so loyal to their teams. If someone ripped the Mets and the Mets were 35-80, you would agree with them.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't know why. You know, I'm used to New York, I think. That might be my problem.
Well, you know what's funny? Like, as a Met fan, obviously, I've complained a lot about what I've watched over the years, and I've watched a lot of bad stuff. But here's the truth. I've only witnessed one season in my lifetime where the Mets lost 100 games, right? Now, they've lost 100 games a bunch of times. A lot of it was in the 60s, 62, 63. But 1993, the worst team money could buy, they lost 103 games. Outside of that, I haven't seen that many, you know, that was the only 100-loss season I saw. And I think 2003, they lost 95 games. Outside of that, the Mets, when they're bad in my lifetime, You know, it's not Oreo bad. It's
no, they
bad.
Have not gone the tanking route. They have never done that. I mean, the worst team money could – I didn't realize they'd lost 100 games. But the worst team money could buy, they were trying to win. You know, they've gotten Vince Coleman and – help me, I was Eddie Murray. I can't remember who was on the team.
Brett Bobby Saberhagen. Bonilla, Brett Saberhagen.
That's right, Bobby Bonilla. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad, but they were trying to win. I am in favor of trying. Now, obviously, the players are trying. I got hundreds of people telling me, oh, the players are trying. Of course the players are trying on the field. I'm talking about the organization. They're not trying to win this year. They're trying to get the number one pick. And they're to this moment, they are failing at that.
Yeah, no, they're failing.
They're failing at failing.
How about what the Yankees were able to accomplish, though? Because I don't think it
incredible.
Should just be
amazing.
I mean, I get it. The Orioles are really bad, but you've got other teams in that division who get to play them 19 times, and
right.
The Yankees have done such a remarkable job of just taking advantage of how bad they are.
That is the history of the Yankees, taking care of business when they need to do so. I mean, somebody who grew up starting in the 60s with the Yankees as a Yankee fan, they almost never lost to the Indians, the Twins, or the White Sox. They didn't take care of business 17-2, but if you go back and look through the decades, those teams are just, they cannot beat the Yankees. Now, obviously, Indians are good at the moment, and they're a threat at the moment, but for decades, they could not beat the Yankees. I give the Yankees credit. They took care of business. They pounded the Orioles, and that's what they need to do. And the Yankees, it's amazing. Gio Urshela was a giveaway a year ago, an absolute giveaway. If they had known, I mean, obviously, it was a great move, but if they had known what they had, you know, maybe they would have traded Andujar for Gerrit Cole. I mean, it's easy to look back and criticize, but they've, you know, 99% of their decisions have been fantastic. They've done a great job. LeMahieu, incredible. Ottavino, fantastic. Ursula, great. Voit, great. They've done a great job. They still got a little bit of a, even for a team that's won twice as many as it's lost about, they still have a pitching question.
No, and I think that's the area where Brian Cashman hasn't hit the grand slams, but when you look at the bats that they find, and a caller mentioned this the other day, John, maybe it's not just the Yankees get lucky. Maybe they see something in Mike Tauchman and Luke Voit and Gio Urshela, and they bring
Tauchman
out the best
right.
in them, because this is now happening a lot with these position players that other teams are just giving up on.
Yeah, they're good. They do the work. I mean, you know, not to pick on the Mets, because the Mets are right now, you know, obviously in the race, and they're not having the horrific season that we thought they were having. And but if they had just gotten those two calls between the LeMahieu Lowry and the Ottavino Familia, they just reversed it. It'd be a different story, but you know, you got to give the Yankees credit. They do it right. I mean, I work with Dan O'Dowd. I've only heard great things about LeMahieu and how he was underrated for years. And that's absolutely right. Jim Hendry was the Cubs GM when they drafted him. Originally, he was traded. O'Dowd picked him up in Colorado. It's amazing what they've gotten from Colorado.
Yeah,
Tauchman, Ottavino, and LeMahieu. And look at Colorado. I mean, they're a disaster at this point.
No, they have been. Now, I told you this. I haven't said this on air, but tomorrow, for the first time in like a year, I'm making my return to MLB Network, and you're not there, which I'm a little
annoyed
about.
I can't believe it. I am very disappointed.
What's up with that? Where
are
you?
I don't know. They didn't even tell me that you're coming in. I don't know. I feel like I deserve credit. I've gotten two guests who've been who've come a few times, so they're obviously happy with these people. You and John Heilman from I think he's on MSNBC now. He's on a few different channels. And they don't pair me with the ones that suggested. I feel like I'm getting no credit. I feel like I should be getting credit.
I don't think they're paying you.
And you're coming in for free. So
I was going to give you a percentage of what I'm getting
tomorrow. You're nothing, right?
No, I'm not taking anything.
You know what they do? The writers who need the money, you know, writing is a tough business, they pay them, which is very nice of them. But, you know, the John Heilmans, the Evan Roberts, the big media stars, I think they just don't pay.
Do
they give you the gas money at least?
I've never asked for that. I've done it like twice, and it's like, to me, it's a holiday. You know, I'm going on vacation tomorrow after the show, so that's the last thing I'm doing before vacation. In fact, All right? I'm bringing the whole family, not inside because I can't do that, but I'm bringing the whole family to MLB Network, and as soon as I'm done,
oh my God,
I'm driving to North Carolina.
Oh, my goodness. Very nice.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I'm going to miss your send-off. I might stay a little late just to say hello. And
who's going to be there, by the way?
Greet your family. Now, which Mets player have you named your son after? I've forgotten.
His name is Jet.
Jet, okay, I was close.
I mean, it was...
I was close. Is Met the next one?
We'll see.
All right. Now, Jet is a much cooler name than Met, though. It could be named after Joan Jet as well.
Jet,
I don't know, is it one T or two?
It is two T's.
Two T's, there you go.
That's right,
Joan Jet, right. A Long Islander.
Who are they sticking me with tomorrow? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't want to put it that way. These are my colleagues. So, you know, I mean, obviously some are better than others. But I'm disappointed. I am personally disappointed. They didn't even tell me. It's like it's forgotten that I originally suggested you. And you are one of the two or three best that we've ever had in the third chair. Really.
That's very sweet. I look forward to it. It's fun every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, you'll say anything.
Well, apparently the last time I ticked off Alex Cora with the comments about David Price.
Oh, right. Then we had to get Alex Cora to comment back, I think, right?
Well,
yeah, that was funny.
I don't think he was even asked about it. I think he just brought it up on his own. He's like, I was watching MLB Network, and this clown said David Price stinks in a big spot, which, by the way, I was right about. I mean, David pitched great in Game 5, but at that moment in time,
I
was talking based on facts. The guy had been terrible in the postseason. I wasn't saying anything out of school.
No. I bet you could see Alex Cora probably would have to disagree with that. He's got to stick up for his guys.
We'll see who I tick off this time. I'm going to guess it's Mickey Callaway, but we'll see. You never know.
Well, you know what? Let's be fair to Callaway. He has inspired them and believed in them, and they are in the race, and it is exciting. Now, is he a great is he Earl Weaver? Is he a great – is he Tony La Russa? No, he's not. He's not Tony La Russa.
No, he's not. He's Earl Weaver. Is he Tony La Russa?
All right, but look, did anyone think they'd be above 500? Now, we all killed them off. You and Joe were the first ones to kill them off. I killed them off following you, so we got to give them credit. They're in the race.
Do you like what August has become in terms of guys being released? Like, you even tweeted earlier that David Hernandez, the reliever the Reds got rid of, is signed with the Yankees. So the Yankees added David Hernandez. We've seen the Mets add Joe Panik. This is the new August thing now where veterans are just DFA'd, and that's how we see player movement. Do you like it?
For me, it's better, because I'm not on edge all the time wondering who's going to get traded. People who are DFA'd usually are not having great years, so, I'm not worried about, what Rosenthal or Passan or whomever is tweeting all the time. So for me personally, I like it, and some of them are interesting. We'll see Joe Panik back to, St. John's guy, that's interesting. Matt Harvey getting a job somewhere else, that's interesting. So
Matt Harvey.
Yeah, some teams just really don't believe in him at this moment.
He's terrible.
He has 7 ERA. Well, you know what? The guy they were using, Homer Bailey, has an 8 ERA, so maybe they look at that as an improvement.
So right now, as you sit here today, on August 15th, 2019, are the New York Mets going to be in the wild card game?
Well, I have to stick with what I said last, which was what? I've forgotten. I think I said they were, yes.
So who are they playing?
I'm going to say Washington and the Mets, yes.
Wow,
and by the way, Harvey, I think it's interesting that he goes to Sandy Alderson's team after all the battles that they had over the innings pitched and everything else. So I don't know, but we'll see. I'm not going to write him off. The guy was incredible, you recall, in 13 and 15.
I have nothing against him. I wish him all the best. I think he's done, but we'll see.
Okay,
fair enough.
This is why they love you on MLB Network.
Because I say that.
Concise, opinionated, perfect.
Well, that's how I feel. I mean, you never know what'll happen. Baseball's a funny game. But
it really is.
I watched him a bunch of times this year with the Angels. The guy looked done. It looks like...
He didn't look good.
No.
He didn't look good.
Not at all.
Well, maybe the Bay Area will agree with him.
Well, best of luck to him. John, always good talking to you. I'm a little disappointed about tomorrow.
Me too.
But...
I'm very disappointed. Yeah. I'm going to try to stay late to say hi to Jet.
Clown are they going to stick me and Kenny with? Like, who are some of the other names that are on that show? So
I mean, it could be anybody. I don't know. I've been on with Darling, with Burns, with O'Dowd.
Oh, I like
Darling. It's a variety.
I like O'Dowd. I like these. So far, those are good names. Burns, I don't really care about. Whatever. Yeah, he was actually a decent player.
Well, it might be Burns now, so hopefully he's not him playing the tape.
I have nothing against Eric Burns. I just don't have an opinion on him, basically.
He's a presidential scholar, you know.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
A lightning round thing of, I forget what they call that.
I love that.
With trivia, and I had to do, I did tennis, which I did fine at, and I did presidents, and I was terrible. I thought they were going to ask me about Trump and Reagan and
they're going to ask you about William Henry Harrison.
Who was the 12th president? And Burns had a kind of whisper in my ear.
Oh, my
God. I can't number the presidents. I didn't know that.
I have a new opinion. I hope Burns is there because I'm obsessed with presidents, and we'll have something to talk about.
No, he's no dummy. I think he went to UCLA or Cal. He's not a dumb guy.
I'm an Eric Burns guy.
I
want him there.
There you go. I like your attitude.
We're gonna break down Grover Cleveland's first and second term, and
very good. That
out.
Was one of the questions. I got that one right, though. That was one that was easy.
Non-consecutive terms.
Two terms, not consecutive.
There
I got
go.
That. But if they ask you who's the ninth president, I mean that's I'm basically just naming presidents.
You know what's funny? Yeah, it's funny, John. I know every president. I'm obsessed with every president. I'm with you. I don't know the numbers very well. I know
George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Trump.
The only way I could figure it out is if I started doing it in order. Like, if they said, okay, what's the 10th president? I'd be like, okay, George Washington,
right, but
John
if they
Adams,
ask you the 22nd president, you're in the lightning round. It's not so easy to do that.
Well,
right?
I'll just keep counting. I think the 22nd president was Grover Cleveland. I think he was 22 and 24, wasn't he?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not good on the numbers, as I proved.
And that's okay. I'm not good at it either. I know every president, but the numbers, for whatever reason, I get confused.
Maybe it'll be Burns, and you guys can discuss the 1800s and the
president. I'm excited. I want Team Burns now. That's going to be great.
There you go.
All right, John.
See you later.
John Heyman, ladies and gentlemen, here in his weekly spot.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.